This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, the ACLU accuses a black mayor of racial profiling, and activists want successful black businessmen to remember where black started. Joining us from our New York bureau, Michael Myers. He's executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Also with us from member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island, Glenn Lowry, professor of social sciences and professor of economics at Brown University, and from our Chicago bureau, Laura Washington. She's a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. All right, folks, let's get right into one of the things that we found most interesting, and that is during the SCLC's annual convention down in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio, we heard from a number of people, including Al Sharpton, who are suggesting that perhaps African-Americans who have made their way into corporate America have forgotten where they've come from and have not had the want to give back to the community. And the suggestion is there is that need, Glenn Lowry, and the call has been put forth.
Yeah, the call has been put forth. I have to say, however, that I'm not moved by the call. I mean, there are a couple of points here. One is that in this vast country of 300 million people, where you have 35 million African Americans and a huge black middle class, for somebody like Al Sharpton or Martin Luther King III to say that the success of the black middle class is due to their efforts and the efforts of their organization is an absurdity. I mean, the civil rights movement is over. It's been over for 30 years. Al Sharpton is not putting any black people into a position of economic security. So, you know, I mean, this is an effort to get blacks with some influence to give and their corporations to give to the efforts of Mr. Sharpton and the SCLC. But I wish that their accomplishments on the ground merited the kind of support that they're calling for.
Laura, there will be those who suggest that Glenn is being perhaps a bit Pollyanna about where we are today and the idea that you don't forget where you come from, the civil rights movement is not over, and that there is a need to be ever vigilant.
Yes, perhaps a little Pollyanna, but there are obviously terrible problems that exist in our inner cities, especially for low-income African-Americans, but these aren't the folks that Al Sharpton is talking about. But I agree with Glenn. I think this is Al Sharpton and others looking at their bottom lines of their own civil rights organization and looking for some new money. And there's very much self-interest involved in these kinds of appeals. And I think African-Americans, I mean, again, we're making generalizations. I'd like to see some numbers, how many African-Americans do contribute to these organizations and at what levels and how do they compare with the other groups. But black corporate interests give back in many ways. I know in Chicago, there's an entire neighborhood called Bronzeville, which was a historically black neighborhood that's fallen into deep disrepair, that is coming back, is becoming gentrified, in fact, because of middle and upper middle class black folks who are moving back into these communities and rebuilding these communities. Black folks in the corporate world sit on community boards. They give to community organizations. They give to organizations like UNCF. There is much going on at that level.
That may be the case, but and this is not scientific, but one might suggest that we have heard tales, Mike Myers, of African-Americans not doing enough for these organizations. Therefore, and yesterday we talked about it, the idea of the Urban League, the NAACP, and others needing to turn to corporate America to keep their bottom line.
Well, they did that a long time ago. But, you know, when you mention the NAACP, the National Urban League, and the local urban leagues, and the local NAACPs, and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and the Legal Defense Fund, and the ACLU, and all the other groups, I think it's crazy to say that the civil rights movement is over. It's not over. There are civil rights violations that are ongoing in America, and there are many civil rights organizations that are addressing real problems. Now, this is not to say that I disagree with either Laura or Glenn about the racial canard and that's what it is, a racial canard, that the black corporate leaders have forgotten where their roots are or where they come from. That's just plain old racial rhetoric. It's the usual racial rhetoric that comes from people, as they say, who say to the corporate America, what have you done for me lately? And do more for us, meaning the organizations that have come to the convention. We don't hear about SCLC except once a year. In their convention, and we haven't heard from them in a long time because they've been more urban and financially poor. So, yes, they want corporate America largesse. But, you know, when you look at their street activism, and they're the ones who raised that issue, they've had boycott after boycott of corporate America without success. They've had boycotts against newspapers without success. These street activists, as Glenn and Laura have suggested, have been inept. They've been ineffective. And one might get the appearance and the imagery of failure or that civil rights movement is over, but it's not over. It's just that the civil rights organizations, those groups that have become moribund, are also brain dead because
Glenn,
a lot of blacks are in corporate America.
Glenn, isn't this the possible conundrum that both could be true? The idea that perhaps African Americans on a whole are not giving back to those who are in the streets trying to continue the fight, but the idea that, in fact, we are seeing these corporations needing money and perhaps putting a little muscle out there to get it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But what I think is that these particular organizations, we're talking about Al Sharpton. We're talking about the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I mean, there's a record on the ground, and that record is not very impressive. And as has been mentioned, there are some tremendously serious problems in our community. I'm talking about children without fathers. I'm talking about prisons that overflow. I'm talking about schools that don't work. I'm talking about public health issues like HIV, et cetera, et cetera. There is plenty to do. And these guys just aren't getting it done. And one final point, these are, at the end of the day, American issues. And the only relevant public for coming to grips fundamentally with the problems that beset Black America is the American people. So I'll go this far with Michael Myers. I mean, it is a racial canard to somehow put the responsibility for dealing with this vast problem on the shoulders of a small and struggling Black middle class, when we really need to find effective political strategies for engaging all of the American people in dealing with our American problems in our cities.
Laura, here's the interesting point, though. Glenn suggests that he talked about the records of Sharpton and the SCLC and suggesting that they aren't impressive, and it obviously depends on who you ask whether or not they see either one of these entities as impressive. Some will say that Al Sharpton is on the ground more often than most Black leaders and, you know, depending on the case, may come out as the jester or the king. Others will say that the SCLC had a grand history and had fallen on, in the last decade or so, hard times. But the idea that somebody has to be on the wall.
Well, and these two organizations are not organizations that are primarily based around issues of economic justice. These are street-level organizations that do a lot of work, mainly around social justice, things like racial profiling, things like, you know, discrimination, public accommodations. Those are some of the historical things that these groups have done, which is fine and good. I think they could be doing a lot more. But I think they put when they criticize the African-American corporate leaders who are there, absolutely partly because of our struggles together, they put them in a position where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Isn't it progress to have folks in positions of influence in the corporate world because they will send those messages that Glenn talks about, the messages that it's the community at large's responsibility. They're there to represent us to the community at large and to send that message. And I think that that's an important thing that you overlook. You don't have to necessarily be spending every dime in the Black community to be contributing to the Black community.
Mm-hmm. Except to say that the evidence suggests that Blacks in corporate America do give, quote-unquote, back to the community.
They give a lot of money.
Dick Parsons' groups give a lot of money. Oprah is a corporation. She gives a lot of money. Bill Cosby gives a lot of money. Now, I don't like who they give it to, all these Black colleges and all that and other nonsense separate to them.
All right.
But they give a lot of money back.
Somewhere else.
Black colleges
all right.
are nonsense, Michael.
Let me save Michael Myers and come back to the roundtable issues at hand, and that's the ACLU, the National ACLU, and I know we're about to get in trouble with you here, Michael Myers, so I'll let you go first. The American Civil Liberties Union has accused a Black mayor in Jackson, Mississippi, of racial profiling. Frank Melton is the mayor there, and he ran on a Tough on Crime platform, won 88% of the vote, and he says that he doesn't really care what the ACLU has to say. He said, and this is a quote, "We have 26 people that have been killed in Jackson this year. We have 300,000 people killed across America each year, the majority of them African American. And it's time to do something. I want to know what the ACLU wants to do besides criticize," end quote.
Well, let me put it this way. I was concerned when I read the report that the ACLU official who was doing the accusing suggested that Mayor Melton ought to know better because of his skin color, that he's Black. The race of the mayor is irrelevant to whether he or the police department there are racially profiling in law enforcement. A civil rights violation is a civil rights violation, no matter the color of the perpetrator or the public official. And the ACLU should know that. And I would even suggest that the executive director of the ACLU should discipline his staff member and advise him, don't bring in the color of the public official when you're bringing up a very serious charge of civil rights violation. Now, what also stuns me is that the mayor suggests that for the ACLU to even advise people of their rights when stopped by police, he might regard it as an obstruction of justice. Well, that's a mayor that seems to me who to be out of control, but who is likely to be very, very popular with his constituency because, quite frankly, crime is out of control. It's out of control in Jackson, Mississippi. It's out of control in Washington, D.C., and people will give up their liberty for more safety. We know that in terms of the terrorism fight. We know that in terms of blacks who are sick and tired of crime in the black community. And these figures who pander and posture about safety, they benefit from that.
Laura, that seems to be the gist of the problem when we look at something like that, and that is whether or not the race of a perpetrator, if in fact it's disproportionately one race, comes into play here. If it just makes sense that more African Americans, more Asians, more whites are doing something, do you in fact profile them at that point?
Well, there's a difference between doing something and simply driving while black. And yes, race does matter. We're talking about a town that is predominantly, in the case of Jackson, we're talking out of town that's predominantly black. The crime is for the most part black on black. So who are cops going to stop? Who are most likely to be committing the crimes? Of course, black people. But it's unclear to me from what the ACLU has presented so far whether they have evidence that these folks have been are indeed being singled out simply because they're black, or are they being singled out because they've committed crimes or they are under suspicion of committing crimes? And I think that, you know, as Michael says, anybody, black, white, whatever, is going to want to see their police department enforce the law and get these criminals off the streets. So I don't think anybody's going to object to that. It's a question of whether or not there's due cause, whether or not there's been due process. And in terms of the ACLU's, you know, talking about, you know, sort of coaching residents on their rights, I'd like to see them coach. One of the things that I think you need to see more in terms of this whole issue of racial profiling is coaching folks on how to respond to cops when they get stopped, because that's when we create the problems that lead to shootings of civilians, is when folks don't know how to handle themselves, whether they're innocent or guilty when they get stopped. That's where the training should go.
That's part
well,
of
the ACLU,
coaching.
Glenn, has been generic in their response at this point, but King Downing, who is the National Racial Profiling Coordinator for the ACLU, suggests that for him to leave office and come across the country to this state means that there's a very serious problem going on here in Jackson.
Yeah, I saw that, and I gathered that he does think there's a serious problem, but I can't take his decision to go down there to be evidence of a problem. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think we should just assume that this accusation is correct. As a matter of fact, it's very hard to know if racial profiling is taking place when 3/4 of the people who live in the town are black. It's hard to know if you're stopping somebody because they're black when 3/4 of the drivers are black. And in the high crime areas, it's probably even a higher proportion who are black. I'm sure that the police force is largely black in this town of about 200,000 people. So I don't think that we should jump to the conclusion that the accusation of racial profiling is true. But I will say this. I have a lot of sympathy for the mayor when he says, okay, you've made your complaint and I've heard you. Now, what do you propose that we do about the fact that our citizens are getting preyed upon by criminals? We do have to try to mount some kind of effective law enforcement. That's not an endorsement of profiling. My main point is, how do you know there is profiling in a place where almost all the drivers are already black?
I think it's interesting that the ACLU decided in its good wisdom to come to Jackson. King Downing said that he came there because he was concerned. It sounds like to me his main concern is that Jackson has a black mayor. And this looks to me like, until I see more evidence about what they have really found, looks to me like an example of them trying to get, the ACLU trying to get some publicity and get a nice public pop out of it because there's a black mayor.
Laura, are you accusing the ACLU of racially
looking
profiling.
Looking for publicity?
Racially profiling, going to the Jackson, Mississippi because the mayor is black. You know, I would love to read the report. And I would, because as all the panelists have said, the issue is a question of due process. The question is, are you being stopped? Are you being harassed simply because you're black, meaning there has been no evidence or no demonstration or no real suspicion of you engaging in criminal activity or about to engage in criminal activity? The ACLU just issuing a report or making an accusation or a press release is not good enough, and the national racial profiling coordinator is saying the only reason why he's leaving New York's his comfort of his New York office because this is going on is not, as Glenn said, it's not evidence. Let's have evidence.
Glenn, let me ask you, this is one of those things that, as you suggest, is already hard to find out what, in fact, is the case for the initial stop. Is this one of those issues that is just going to be one of those ongoing problems, in your opinion, that really is never solved? Not just in Jackson, but across the country?
Exactly. No, I think you make a good point, Ed. The racial profiling one is a tough one, and I think it's going to be with us for a while. And, I mean, we see it in the anti-terrorism arena, you know, not necessarily blacks, but, I mean, it's the same kind of problem. Disproportionately Arab-looking people or whatever. And again, I'm not endorsing this. I'm saying there's a real dilemma here because you want effective enforcement. You got limited resources. And if the number of offenders who belong to the minority group is large, the police doing their job are going to create circumstances that look like profiling, even if that's not their intent.
The exception here is the public officials and the police officials say they are not racially profiling. That they say they don't need a racial profile. So
that's not the exception, Michael Myers. That usually is the case. Most police forces and mayors will suggest that there is no racial profiling going on.
But what they do may be something quite different. It's like Mel Gibson
but it's
saying,
not
I'm
the
not
exception.
But
the rule.
Being the
bigot. We were going to try to get to Mel Gibson today, but black folk took precedent, and we talked about too many of those problems. All right, folks, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. Michael Myers,
thank you, Ed
Lowry, and Laura Washington.